This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, we have a brand new guest. And I spotted the company about a month and a half ago. We're talking about BioAces Technology, Inc. They trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol BIOAF. You know, they also trade on the TX Venture up there north, ticker symbol BTI. And with us today is the CEO of the company, Dr. Mark Day. Dr. Day, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Look forward to the discussion.
You know, give my listeners a little bit of background on yourself and how you came about to take over the company.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this company's focused on neuroscience and brain cancers. So my background is I have a PhD in neuroscience. And I have had different roles in R&D. So I've been at, you know, several companies. The roles have ranged from research, early development. For example, at Wyeth, I was the co-chair for the early development team, so programs that had come from discovery, you know, the research phase, and advancing into development. I was responsible for those. I was also head of business development for neuroscience at Bristol Myers Squibb. Did a couple of M&As, licensing deals there. One of them was actually the acquisition of Iterion, which was an anti-tau antibody for the treatment of Parkinson's-like diseases, in particular a really awful disease called progressive supranuclear palsy. And we acquired that. It was preclinical. I think we paid $175 million with milestones. BMS pulled out of neuroscience. Biogen acquired the asset for over $1 billion, and they're sitting with them now. Other roles I've had as Parkinson's UK Scientific Advisory Board advisor. I was at Wyeth Pharmaceuticals in New Jersey. I was BD at Alexion Pharmaceuticals, which focused on rare diseases. And then I actually was promoted into a new group, a new role, heading what they called external scouting and venture funds. And so with that, you know, I've got a bit of a hybrid. I'd call myself a serious research development person, but, you know, very seasoned when it comes to business development. And, you know, just excited to, you know, basically drive a company like BioAces forward, because I think it has tremendous potential. In fact, the reason why I joined the company, on the downside, you know, Big Pharma is just really slow, right? It's like a huge tanker in the ocean and is trying to turn around, and there's just so many bureaucratic processes there that after, I think, my sixth pharmaceutical company, I just kind of like, you know, I wanted to make a medicine, right? I'd spent, you know, nearly 12 years at that point doing drug discovery and development, and all the drugs were failing, you know, and we'll come back to that as to why things fail. But, you know, there was the big hole for me was drugs that just can't get into the brain. So it turns out that most drugs fail due to underdosing of the drug, right? So the patient's getting a drug that they don't really have a chance to respond to. And, you know, and that's not a good situation. So the blood-brain barrier has always been something I've been passionate about as a neuroscientist. But the main impetus was I really wanted to make a medicine, and this might sound a little bit, you know, offish in a sense, but I just don't want to be at the end of life, so to speak, you know, having worked at large companies but never delivered a medicine.
Right.
So I came across, when I was in doing due diligence on companies, I was responsible for, you know, finding opportunities, leading the due diligence on them, working with other colleagues to make sure we pressure test the companies. It's really interesting. The ones where they're underdosed, they actually have a higher probability of getting into phase one and phase two because they don't see any safety issues, right? Because the drug's typically underdosed or isn't getting into the brain at all. And if you look at the phase two failure rates of things that look positive in phase one, you know, you've got a really high percentage of drugs that just don't work, right? But when you look at most of them, the ones that didn't work, just weren't at the therapeutically relevant doses. So for me, when I was looking at all the blood-brain barrier technologies, and what that means is, you know, when you smoke, when you drink alcohol, if you take Ritalin or Xanax, these drugs all get into the brain, right? They cross the blood-brain barrier really readily. And that's why you get the therapeutic benefits of Xanax and Ritalin and, you know, the effects of nicotine and alcohol. But when it comes to delivering serious medicines, the blood-brain barrier is there really to protect the brain from any intrusion so that the brain can function properly. And unfortunately, in the case of medicines, what that's meant is that many therapeutic drugs that work on peripheral symptoms, I'll give you an example, HER2-positive breast cancer, for example. So Herceptin works really, really well on HER2-positive breast cancer, lung cancer. But when the brain metastasizes, when the cancer metastasizes into the brain, Herceptin is incapable of crossing the blood-brain barrier because antibodies are large. And so I focus diligence upon technologies that could cross the blood-brain barrier on two fronts. How fast can they get across the blood-brain barrier? And how much cargo or drug can they deliver? And for me, in doing my due diligence on all of these different technologies, BioAsys was easily the most exciting and the one with the most potential. And so I saw a great opportunity here to learn from all of my big pharma experience and frustrations and turn them into something really, really constructive. And that was to come on board, take over a company that is somewhat hidden in terms of global kind of awareness of it, and turn it into, you know, I want to turn this company into a really, really amazing biotech company that is advancing its own portfolio as opposed to relying on those, you know, the efforts of other companies to drive those. Because I think you should take pride and ownership in what you're developing, right? And you can't leave things to chance in this game.
I want to talk about your leading product to treat brain cancer, the XB3. Where are we at in that process?
Yeah, so actually, it's been a pretty good... So since November, when I brought the new board of directors on board, we've made really significant progress there. So XB3 has been, the data originally generated, you know, a couple of years back preclinically. And, you know, I think at that point, the company, you know, for whatever reasons at the time, I focused on a different type of strategy, which was a good one. But, you know, I think for delivering medicines, right, you want to be able to drive those, because a technology company, our value is based upon how well we advance the science. And the science is the driver for the medicine. If you deliver the medicine, then both patients and shareholders get a very meaningful return, hopefully, if we do the job properly. So where we're at right now is we've initiated the collaboration to prepare and file the IND with WuXi Biologics, based out in China. Now, this is really important, actually. So the selection of the manufacturing company you're going to work with is a do-or-die situation. So in many, many cases, too frequent to recount them all, companies have born and died on the back of the selection and the quality of the manufacturing. So, you know, this is a really common derailer. I'll give you a really solid example. Genzyme, who pioneered several treatments for what we call lysosomal storage diseases, which is basically really severe, in most cases, neurodegenerative diseases, done a really beautiful job of making these new medicines to go in and, you know, basically, you know, repair the broken, the missing enzyme. They had a manufacturing issue. They couldn't supply the medicine. The share price bombed. Sanofi came in and bought them at a fraction of the price they were actually worth, right? And we've seen this with other companies like Shire. Every company I've been at has had some manufacturing issue. So WuXi, based on my previous due diligence over time, over looking at 20 different manufacturing companies, WuXi is the best that I've ever reviewed in terms of biologics, right? So making antibodies to clinical-grade material is no mean feat. So that's important. The other piece that's really important is connectivity within the organization. So whether it's business development, R&D collaborations, choice of clinical manufacturers, me and my team, we are really focused on, do we have access to the very senior executives in those companies so that if there's an issue, we can get it resolved on the same day. So for example, at WuXi, the CEO is Chris Chen, who's well known to us, and through the person who leads our CMC manufacturing efforts, he's also very good friends with Chris Chen. So we're very connected with the CEO and the chief technology officer too. So, you know, we're really excited about the manufacturing of 001. It's a pivotal milestone for BioAces as we look to lead our program in the HER2-positive breast cancer space, glioblastomas, and our neurodegeneration programs. So that's important. And their expertise in this space is phenomenal. And in my mind, it's second to none.
Dr. Day, let me ask you this question. You know, I read one of your press releases that you use Roth Capital Partners to raise some money. Obviously, you know, you guys got a little bit of revenues, but nothing great.
Yep.
Can you expand on that a little bit on the 69 cents warrant?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the company's exposure outside of Canada has been, you know, relatively... It's been fairly, the company's not established in the U.S. So a lot of the times when we're taking this around to folks, you know, we have to kind of start them from the beginning and, you know, take them through the story. The Roth raise was important strategically on a couple of fronts. First of all, it's the first U.S.-based raise, right, where a U.S. bank has led this. Second of all, it was there to, the company's had a liquidity issue. Very loyal shareholders. I've met, I think, almost all of our shareholders at this point. And, you know, we've had very good roadshows in Canada to socialize them to the new team, et cetera, explain the strategy. But what the Roth raise solves for is near-term financing. So, for example, being able to advance key components like the WuXi collaboration we just announced, but also to be able to begin the preparation for the uplisting to the NASDAQ while socializing other U.S. investors to the story, right? So that's been important. The other part that we're solving for here is, in TSXV is a, you know, a solid exchange for a company like BioAces and the initiation phases. Once you get to a more global kind of, you know, investment set of a pool of investors, the TSXV can be a little bit cumbersome for U.S. investors. The rules are different, you know, some of the restrictions, you know, that they put on make it hard for U.S. investors to basically invest money via the TSX Venture Exchange. And, you know, I don't say that, you know, unwittingly. It's out of, you know, say 10 of the 11 banks we spoke to expressed concerns about, you know, come back to us when you're, you know, listed on NASDAQ, for example. It's easier for us to participate. It's less cumbersome on the paperwork. It's really to do with what they're familiar with versus what we're familiar with in Canada. But it's a real potential roadblock that needs to be solved for.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, yeah, so in order to increase, you know, everything that you need to do to get on the NASDAQ, we need to be enabling for investors to be able to buy into our stock, you know, relatively easily.
My guest today has been Dr. Mark Day, CEO of BioAces Technologies, Inc. They trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol BIOAF. They also trade on the TSX Venture under the ticker symbol BTI. They traded down here in the States around 55 cents a share. Dr. Day, we are running out of time. So in closing, is there anything that we didn't get a chance to touch upon that you would like to illustrate to my listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot. So I think one of the things that I just want to touch on for continuity from the previous management team is that BD remains an area of accretion to us, but it's focused and selective. And what I mean by that is there are certain companies that will totally kind of get and may have even helped pioneer the way that we do drug development discovery and development. So that is an area we're pursuing. But of course, BD is BD, business development, and we don't discuss any actions that we have on the BD front until we have a deal that's signed, sealed, and delivered. And that's an important point. So it's something that we don't communicate on because it's business development, but it's something that we take very seriously as a company.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. It's always a pleasure when a CEO of your caliber comes on my show. Hopefully you'll come back in 50 or 60 days and give us an update on your company.
Absolutely. Be delighted to.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or the station.